Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 81 of the It's Obvious podcast. A little disclaimer before we get started. Unfortunately, our mixer malfunctioned exponentially during this episode, caused all these weird popping noises and alien sounds. If you're wondering why we sound like extraterrestrials for the majority of this episode, it's due to our mixer just crapping out on us, which really sucks. Thankfully, we've already replaced it with a brand new one, so next week we'll be back in action with crystal clear audio for your listening pleasure. But we hope you're willing to bear with us this episode. Again, we apologize for the inconvenience of the crappy audio, but hopefully you find some enjoyment of it as we discuss our Game of the Year 2016. Without further ado, this is episode 81.
Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 81 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined by my two best friends, Garrett Drake.
Preston, it's good to be here, but it's great to have you back.
It's good to be back. Thank you. And Jacob Alka.
It's great to know you are still alive.
I am. Barely. I'm barely alive, but I'm here. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Pretty well.
I'm cold.
Yeah, Jacob's cold. I offered you a hoodie if you want it, but you declined. Respectfully, yeah. But you declined. So it's your fault if you freeze to death, Jacob.
I'll be fine.
Okay. Well, if you have icicles dripping from your
nose, I think
it's
still above freezing, so.
Okay, that's good.
It's like 39 degrees.
Yeah, we have the warmth of our candle. It's a rainy day here in Atlanta, Georgia, but we're all here together. We're going to keep each other warm with good company and friendship. You guys ready for this?
Yes.
Because I'm ready. Despite my face hurting, the more I talk, the more it hurts. So I'm going to be mostly all ears today. I'm looking forward to your conversation. Mostly what Preston has to say, because he haven't been here in so long. And try not to be too funny, because the more I smile and laugh, like right now, it stretches my face and it kills to smile and laugh. So I'm just going to be on the download today, but it's good to have you back.
Oh, yes. It's good to be back. I've missed not only being here, but just not working.
Right.
Like, I literally can't remember, like, I'm talking like a stretch of an hour where I haven't worked in the past like 2 weeks.
Right.
And it's just been absolutely exhausting. I went to bed at like 11 last night and I slept through every alarm I had and I'm still exhausted.
Right.
So I have the next 2 weeks off. So I'm excited to just get a ton of sleep, enjoy the Christmas season with my friends and family. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm just glad to not be working. But it's funny, the second I get here, your parents are
demanding
me to work on some TV stuff in their house. So it's like I just can't escape the cable.
Yeah.
But it's been good. I am very very gracious for this amount of work and the income that it is providing me and stuff. So even though it does suck, I am very thankful to have a job that provides me with so much. But I've been in Tampa the past 2 weeks.
Tampa,
yes. And I was in Houston right after Thanksgiving. Or no, Dallas, my bad. And I worked about, from Monday through Saturday, I worked 16-hour days back to back to get this church up and running before that following Sunday. And I worked on Saturday. We started working at 8 o'clock, and we worked all the way through the night until our plane ride home at 5:30 a.m. the next day.
Oh, my gosh.
And we missed the flight
because
we were still because we were working so much. So we missed the flight, had to wait until 8:30, flew home, about 2-hour flight back to my house, went inside my house, fell asleep, woke up at about 8, had some dinner, went back to sleep, woke up at 3:30 the next morning on Monday, rode to the airport again, flew to Tampa, and worked that entire week. And then came back on Friday, was able to have a little bit of a weekend off, flew back this previous Monday, and worked about, I think I worked 70 hours in 4 days up until yesterday, which was Friday. Obviously, we shoot this on a Saturday. And yeah, that's where I am now. Nothing really funny happened besides us being stalked by this old woman, which legitimately kind of freaked us out.
Being stalked?
Okay, so we went into a Walmart on Monday, the Monday that we arrived, and to get a bottle of water. I had no more pre-workout for the rest of the week, so I had to go buy some of that. So
you've been working out through all this too?
Yeah, I work out. Even after 16-hour days, I still work out, dude. anywho, I was, oh yeah, so I leave the Walmart, walking out to the car, and this old woman approaches us, and she's like, "Do you know where the hospital is?" And she looks kind of crazy, dude, and like she looks weird, and we're like, I'm like, "No, sorry, I don't live here." So I like get him in the car. She approaches one of my coworkers, like, "Do you know where the hospital is?" And he's like, "No, I don't. Sorry, I don't live here." Well, one of my other coworkers, was like, "No, let me help you get there." So we like follow this lady to the hospital, and she is the slowest driver on earth. We're like on a highway, and she's going like 15 miles an hour. So we're like, "What in the world is going on with this woman?" So we pull into the hospital. She follows us. We go into the ER. Tell them like there's some like woman who is like really slow. Like I think something's wrong with her. So they like get in their buggy, go get her. We're like, whatever. So we pull into the church we're working at the next morning, and her car is at the church we're working at.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're like, no, that can't be her, dude. That can't be her. Like, that's, why is she here? Like, we were at a Walmart far away. Oh, she's here. God. So we look in her like car, and she's like on her cell phone, just like looking at her cell phone. So we're like, okay, whatever. So we're inside the church, and then all of a sudden the lady starts walking in.
No way.
And talking to people and stuff. And we're like, okay. And we asked one of the receptionists at the church, like, what's this lady doing here? And they're like, oh, she's homeless. We have like a food pantry she's going to go to. And I'm like, she's homeless? What? So we were just like, that's weird, dude.
Did she stick around the whole week?
Yeah. She was just at the church the entire week. The funniest part is that 2 days ago, I think it was Thursday, she was drunk in the parking lot, just like yelling at people and stuff. And the police had to come.
Oh, my.
For this old homeless woman, just drunk in the church parking lot, like going crazy. The police had to come get her.
That's great.
So, insulation.
I'm glad she didn't murder all of you while you were.
Yeah, I know. We just thought it was like the weirdest thing ever. We helped this lady go to the hospital, and it's just like she tails us to the church we were at and just stays there all week.
Yeah.
So
you could have been up in like a lift somewhere up in a ceiling, and like you just hear like a scruffle behind you, and you turn around, she's just on all fours, just looking at you. She wraps a cable around your neck and shoves you off the lift, and you just hang there, and they find you the next morning.
I would have welcomed that.
Right. At that point, I'm sure.
Yeah. But anywho, that's what I did. I've literally played no games.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on. Right. I probably don't know any of the news that happened. I've just been working. I played like literally 15 seconds of Deus Ex via remote play on my Mac.
Okay.
Just because I had a little bit of time that night. And surprisingly, that works really well. You plug your DualShock 4 into your Mac.
USB?
Yeah.
Okay.
And dude, you just play it. Like it was really, really cool.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that was pretty cool. And the hotel Wi-Fi was good enough to actually do that, which was surprising.
Beautiful.
But yeah, I cannot wait to actually play some Final Fantasy. I did play some of the Resident Evil 7 demo in VR. Like I know you put up a Let's Play, which was funny. But I really liked it a lot. I didn't get nauseous one time. I thought the walking controls were done very well. I know you said you got more accustomed to it, but I had been playing Robinson the Journey.
Yeah.
So we're at the beginning of that game. I was a little bit woozy, but I got really used to it. So just jumping into this, I'd already I know what that feels like. So it wasn't woozy for me at all. I really liked it. Like I was like peeking around corners and stuff, which I know you're probably not going to be able to do in the real game. So I think that's a cool advantage you might have playing on VR. But really liked that. Platinumed Watch Dogs 2 last weekend. Fun game. It's a fun game. Better than the first one. Cool. So I guess if you like the first one, try this one if there's nothing else to play.
Yeah.
But so far that's all I've really done. I haven't seen Star Wars. I haven't seen any movies or anything, so I'm probably gonna catch up on that this coming week. I think Assassin's Creed comes out next week too, right? Yeah, I'll probably go see those next week. So I'm actually excited for that. I hope it's good. Everything
it looks okay.
Yeah. Did you see the launch trailer for it or whatever?
I think the latest trailer for it is cool.
Yeah, it looks really cool. So. They took out the part where they're like. They're like, you have to follow the Assassin's Creed or something like that. So I go, okay.
Yeah.
But that has been my life, work, and literally like an hour of video gaming combined. So, I played Axiom Verge on the Vita on the plane ride before I fell asleep.
Nice.
It's okay. It's not really my cup of tea. I know that's like a universally praised game.
Uh-huh.
It's like a throwback to old school Metroid.
Right.
But
I guess, have that on Vita. I just haven't. Yeah,
I guess because I mean it's fun. It's just a lot of like it's a very, you know, it's a Metroidvania type of game. Whereas I keep going into rooms, and it's a pretty big game, and I keep going into these rooms, and I'm like, okay, obviously I need something to get past here. So it's like you just have to go to every single room and stuff. And I don't know. I was probably just way too tired to like really, you know, be patient and stuff with it. But
I feel you.
Yeah, I was fine. But yep, that's it. That's what I did.
Preston. Well, I'm glad you're alive and you're back with us. We missed you dearly. Jacob and I have just been trekking along on our own for the past few weeks. I appreciate everyone tuning in and supporting us without the presence of Preston, but it's good to have you back. The trio is finally here. Jacob, how was your week?
It was good. It was a week. You know what I mean?
That's great.
Played some games.
Uh-huh.
Been playing more Final Fantasy. Last week I had said I got up to the final boss. I beat him. Or, yeah, let's say him.
Okay.
Hmm.
Spoilers, Jacob. You've ruined the game for me. I'm not going to finish it.
Or is it an it? Or is it a she?
Who knows?
I won't say. But great game. I really enjoyed it. A lot of people are criticizing Chapter 13 in particular. It is pretty rough. It's long. But once you get through that, it really like... Well, it has some good story in that chapter, but at the same time, like once you get past that, it really gets good.
So there's a solid payoff at the end?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. And yeah, like I said, the story's great. I'm enjoying the after game so far. Doing a lot of quests, trying to level up to fight that last boss.
The big
apparently,
turtle.
Apparently, Preston was telling me it takes a long time to kill him. So.
What kind of mountain is this? That's a turtle.
It's a turtle. But yeah, I'm gonna try and do that so I can platinum the game. But that'll be.
Yeah, I was looking at the trophies, and it's like a really feasible platinum for it to be like typically like. When I played 13, I know I'm starving, my stomach's going crazy. But when I played 13 for the short time on Xbox 360, I looked at the achievements and I was like, oh, this is like impossible. You have like dedicate your entire life to this.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Typically, Final Fantasy is seems like a very intimidating game, like trophy wise, but this one looks very straightforward.
The problem I'm having is Gladio, like each character has, you know, they're different. Like Noctis has his fishing, Gladio has survival. The problem I'm having is Gladio's survival, and I'm only level 7 at this point, and I've beat the game and done most of the game already. I'm trying to figure out how I can get his level up faster because
I've seen a guide like PS4 trophies. There's a guide specifically for that trophy, and it's like easy level up for that.
I don't want to spend like because I know you leveled up by running around and not using the car and stuff. I'm just like trying to figure out the fastest way to do that because, you know, with Ignis I can just go camp and cook a bunch of times and that'll get it up eventually. Now I've got Noctis to like level 8 fishing, so all I gotta do is fish for that, and I already have level 10 photography for Prompto. So those will be the hardest ones to knock out, but I think I only have like 4 trophies left for that. So
that's great.
Probably in the next couple weeks I'll have that platinum. And been playing the Overwatch Christmas update. Me and you jumped on last night and played a little bit.
That was a rough night of Overwatch, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I was just kind of listening to podcasts and stuff.
Yeah, I was like half into it, but it was fun, definitely. I like May's snowball fight a lot. Yeah,
are y'all as offended as some people online about May's outfit?
No, I saw that.
People are like, what's wrong with May's outfit?
It's because I don't like May, so.
Yeah, May has like a Santa outfit, and there people are complaining it's not cool enough. But like when
it's
she goes.
Because it's her only seasonal outfit. She didn't get a Summer Games one, she didn't get a Halloween one. They're like upset that it's not good enough.
I mean, she's in a Santa outfit. It's like as Christmas as you can get.
And it's called Mary.
When you do
your
ice thing, you turn into a snowman.
Yeah.
Like that's cool.
That's why they made it legendary. That's what Jeff Kaplan said.
Yeah.
So.
No, I had no idea that was a complaint going around on the internet. That's hilarious. I mean, I could see why people like want more out of it, but I mean, it's fine with me. That's the only skin I don't care about getting, if I'm being honest. Like, I want Winston's. I have Lucio's. I have Zenyatta's. So I think Zenyatta's is probably
Zenyatta's
the most unique.
Awesome.
That one's cool.
What is hers?
He looks like a nutcracker guy.
Yeah.
Zenyatta's the guy, the robot guy that shoots.
He has like a wooden face with like, you know, facial hair, and then he has like nuts around his head.
Oh.
He's a nutcracker.
And
you can get the golden weapon skin to get golden nuts.
Mm-hmm. Ferris is pretty cool, like the ice on her armor and stuff.
Yeah. Reaper's similar.
Yeah, Reaper's
pretty cool. I've gotten Lucio's and Winston's so far.
Yeah, I want Winston's a lot. He looks like a Yeti, and his backpack has like these bones on it.
Dinosaur faces.
That looks pretty cool. But yeah, I like the skins a lot. I like how all the maps are redesigned with the Christmas lights and
stuff.
Well,
there's two of them that are redesigned. The King's Row and Hanamura.
Yeah. Well, ironically enough, those are the only two I've played on, I think. Since the Christmas update, I've been playing so much arcade on Eagle.
I was doing
Eagle
last night to get the loot boxes.
Right.
Not because I was enjoying it.
Mm. No, yeah.
Because we were having a bad time.
We did, yeah. It was kind of rough last night, but still a lot of fun. And I played a lot of Overwatch as well. You play anything else this week?
And lastly, I jumped back into Destiny. It's been a long time, and I did the Sparrow Racing League. They added two new maps this year. It's pretty fun. I mean, it's not like, oh, I'm going to do this all the time, you know?
Yeah.
I just jump in every day, get like the presents that they offer at the tower every day, and then I just do like
two or
three
races.
How do you
get that, the new armor? The Dawning armor? Yeah, that armor looks really cool.
You have to get the packages, and you can get like four or five per character, I think, just by doing quests and stuff, but besides that, you have to buy them from the whatever the store's called, Eververse. Mm-hmm. But it looks cool, but I don't care. I'm kind of done with Destiny at this point, unless there's more DLC, so... I mean, I pretty much exhausted Rise of Iron, so...
I feel you.
I do enjoy Sparrow Racing, though.
Isn't there, like, new quests and stuff, too, though?
Yeah, there's time strikes and stuff now that you can do for, what's his name? Zavala? Is that right? Is that the Titan guy?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. But, I think he offers a quest, and, you know, there's time strike quests, and you can do every week, and you get... I think that's how you get the new Icebreaker, but, people in the comments will know better than I do because I'm not really in touch with Destiny right now. But I'm enjoying the Sparrow Racing and it's fun.
Cool.
What about you, Garrett?
I also played some Final Fantasy 15 in addition to Overwatch. I'm about 22 hours in now and it still hasn't, like, it doesn't have me around the throat
yet. Which chapter are you at?
I can't remember. The last thing I did was I encountered the Big Titan for the first time.
Okay.
I encountered him.
It's about to get good.
And I'm touching all of the touchstones right now, the rune stones. I'm in the final cave, and the boss ripped me to shreds, so I got to go grind some more before I can fight it again. But it's pretty cool so far. I'm enjoying it. I've done a lot of side quests as well. I enjoy
which
the
boss
characters.
Are you playing?
Whatever boss stands in your way of touching the final rune stone in that cave.
I don't remember.
After you fight the Titans, like, you have to go touch all three rune stones, and they're like all across the open world. I touched the first two.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the last one's in a big cave, and there's a boss at the end that just massacres me every time. It's a big snake lady.
Oh, I hate those.
Yeah.
Oh, does she have all the arms?
She has like a weird looking face.
I do not like the snakes.
No, I'm not a fan of snakes.
In the anime, it shows that one of those snake people killed Noctis's mom and almost killed him. So he like has a thing out for one of them.
Yeah, I haven't explored any of the extended material for Final Fantasy 15, like the movie or
the anime. I really
want to
see the movie.
Mm-hmm. I know the anime's on YouTube,
anime's,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good. It's only an hour for all the episodes.
I mean, maybe
really
I'll just
good.
Knock that out at some point soon, just to...
You're going
to
Noctis it out?
Yeah, Noctis it out for sure. Noctis has the coolest hair out of the gang, I think, for sure. But yeah, it's fun. I have no complaints about it whatsoever. I do think it's a really good game. Just for some reason, I'm not like... Every time I play it, I'm not like stoked to be playing it. I'm just like, oh, I'll just continue playing it because I feel like I need to play it. But yeah, no complaints. I think it's cool, definitely. Really enjoy the Chocobos. I named my Chocobo Gobo.
Am I close to getting a chicken? I'm like on chapter 2.
No. It's in the next... Once you move to the next playable open world area, it's Dusuke. Like you played in that demo.
Oh, okay. So I know you have to like kill a behemoth or something to get the chickens. Yeah.
It's basically that demo that you played like 2 years ago.
Yeah. I know you asked in one of the podcasts, because like I said, I've been listening to y'all as I work.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, no problem. I'm your biggest fan.
Yeah, I figured.
You can get a black chicken. You can. I know because you're asking about colors. There is a way to get a black chocobo.
I rescued one. But I don't know how to... Can you use it?
I swear I read that people were like, that's like, there you can get
at that point,
black
it's just
going to
look like Donald Duck.
There's a side quest where you go rescue a baby black chocobo.
What's the duck?
I could be wrong,
called?
But I swear Daffy Duck.
Daffy Duck.
I swear there is a way to get one. That's what I read. Granted, I've only played it for 6 hours, but I did read somewhere that you can't get one.
There's no trophy, so I don't care.
I colored my chocobo a burnt orange color. It looks like fall leaves.
Did you get everybody different colors?
Not yet, no. Mm-hmm. But I looked at all the colors. There's a lot of unique ones for sure. I like the shades of blue and green that they have for sure. But
I gave Prompto the neon green because I felt that fits his
certainly
personality.
Absolutely, yeah. For some reason I wanted to go with a more natural looking chocobo color, so I went with the burnt orange fall leaves color.
Good call.
So it looks pretty. It's a pretty looking bird that I ride around. and the open world. In addition to Final Fantasy and Overwatch, I played Skyrim a little bit last night, purely to experiment with the mods because I'd yet to do that.
What'd you find?
So I downloaded a handful of them just to play around. I downloaded some, I guess you can call aesthetic mods. For example, I downloaded a windy mod that makes the Skyrim a little more windy and apparently more immersive, like trees and bushes blowing around more. It's kind of cool. And it has wind sound effects around you the entire time, so it sounds a little more alive.
Have you been
up
on a mountain with that effect?
Not yet, no.
I wonder if it's like really aggressive.
Wind. Maybe. I downloaded a mod that apparently makes NPCs more lifelike. Apparently when you do certain things, they will respond in a more human way rather than a more scripted way, which is interesting. I haven't messed around with it yet, but that's also a thing. I downloaded two houses. I downloaded a Whiterun mansion. That's a massive custom-made mansion right outside Whiterun that has preset, like, countless armor racks and chests and weapon racks and stuff. It's huge, which that's kind of cool. That's at my disposal now if I ever want to just use that mansion. There's also a nice little cottage custom home, and I think it's River Run. Is it River? Not River Run. It's River something in Skyrim.
Riverdale?
Riverdale? Is that what it is? The first town you come across in Skyrim when you leave the cave at the beginning. River something. Well, there's a nice little house on the river right over there, too, that I have at my disposal. And there's a couple other ones. I forgot what I downloaded. I think there's one section in Whiterun that has a chest full of like 100,000 gold and thousands of crafting materials that I can use whenever I want, so that's convenient. But it's pretty cool. I've just started messing with them. I literally played it for about 10 minutes before you and I started playing Overwatch last night. But that's fun. It's probably a game I'll jump into when I want to kill some time and just mess around in the open world with all the mods. So
quick something for me to say.
Okay.
I don't think you can get a black one. My bad.
You can't? You can't get a Daffy Duck?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You can find a little baby one, but right. I'm not sure if you can actually get one. Nobody knows yet.
Okay.
So that probably means you can't.
Well, thanks
for
researching.
So I was misinformed. Yeah, I didn't want to look like an idiot, stupid person.
Yeah, that's okay. So, but I mean, we all look like idiots every week, so it's fine.
But that's cool. You're doing mods in Skyrim. Mm. They work.
Yeah, they do really well.
Sweet. So. I have not used them, and I'm sure you know why.
Well, I don't, actually.
Oh, you don't?
Uh-huh.
Trophies.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Oh,
that's
it
right.
Turns trophies off?
It does turn
even
trophies
if you just
off.
Use, like,
yep.
any of them?
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. stupid.
Well, I mean, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. Because
you could make mods to, like, help you get the trophies.
I mean, you can have two saves. I mean...
Yeah. I mean, you can, yeah. but, like...
That's a lot of work.
It's like... And I might just, you know, I might just play around. But, like, if I'm playing around, it's like, I want to go towards the trophies. So, once again, the trophies stand in my way of fun.
I understand that completely.
Yeah.
I mean, thankfully... That isn't a crutch for me. Like, when it told me trophies were going to be on, I was like, that's no problem. So.
And Skyrim is a very, very long game to platinum.
Yeah.
Like, it's
yeah,
like
what do you have to do?
100 plus hour to platinum that game. Hmm. Pretty much do every single main quest.
Is
like
it
the
hard,
main
though?
Quest. No, it's not hard.
Okay.
It's just like
time consuming.
Very time consuming. You have to like explore 100 dungeons, which that's, you know, not that big of a deal. Complete all the quest lines, like for the mages and the Dark Brotherhood, amass like a bounty on your head to a certain amount, buy a house, get it to a certain level, max out a level to the highest.
Are there missable trophies?
All, no.
Okay.
There is one glitched one that was on 360. I don't know if they fixed it now, but apparently getting all 13 of the Daedric artifacts, there was one that you could give away on accident or something. So there's that. It's just stuff like that. Find this, get to this level, complete these quests. You know, it's just a very long game, very fun game. I do go back to that every now and then. What'd you think about it on the Pro?
I haven't messed with it. It doesn't have HDR or anything, does it?
No, it is native 4K.
Okay.
Native.
I guess it looks good. Well, I've been playing on my monitor. I haven't been playing on my TV because I've been bedridden for a week.
Gotcha.
So I haven't looked at it on my TV
gotcha.
Yet.
It does. It looks better. Like,
cool.
Pretty, like, way better. Like, it's very crisp.
Nice.
The, yeah. So, I like that game. Looks good.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than that, I played a good bit of Super Mario Run on my phone. I bought it for the $10. I played the free three first levels of it for free. I was like, oh, this is really fun. I can see myself really enjoying this when I'm just sitting around, have nothing to do for 10 minutes at a mm-hmm. time. So, I bought the full version and definitely a full-fledged game. I think it's worth $10 just the production value of it because it runs incredibly. It looks amazing. It plays well. And I love the replayability of it. For example...
and you might even be into this. There's special coins in each level, and it's very a unique Mario experience in the sense that you are always moving. So you really have to think about when to jump and where to jump and when not to jump and do certain things to
Is it a 3-coin system where you have to find the 3 hidden coins in every level?
I think there's 5.
No, there's 5 pink coins. They're not even red anymore, and they're just throughout the level. You kind of see them. I've played it a little bit. Typically, when I was taking a dump or something, I would play it.
Good dump game.
Oh, very, very good dump
game. Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of why I'm so attracted to it.
Did you do the toad runs, like beating times and stuff?
I don't know if I have. I haven't messed around with all the extra stuff.
I liked that a lot.
Okay. Because I know, for example, there's the pink coins at the beginning. If you get all the pink coins, you'll unlock the purple coins, and then you can replay that level and get the purple coins, and then the black coins come. So I think it gets more challenging every time to collect all the special coins in each map. And that's fun in the sense of like, oh, it challenges you to play these levels so you master them, which is cool. And I'm on World 2 right now. I've only completed all of World 1, and I haven't made an effort to get all the special coins yet. I just kind of want to play through all the levels and have fun and then maybe go back and get all the special coins.
It's like a new game. Like it's not like a copy of the original Mario.
No,
not at all. Like it's definitely unique. I mean, I haven't really played Mario in a long time. So for me, this is great. And I know it sounds like I'm blowing smoke, but I genuinely do love Nintendo characters and Mario especially. I just don't own a Nintendo console at the time. That's why I'm genuinely excited for the Switch, because it'll be the first time I've delved back into Nintendo in a long time. Mm-hmm. But
is that on here?
It is, yeah.
Cool.
Is there a way to play other characters besides Mario?
Yes, you can play as Yoshi, Toad, Peach, Luigi, and I think another Toad character, if I'm not mistaken.
That's cool.
Mm. So I really want to play as Yoshi. I was looking at how to unlock him, and it's not too hard. But I think it's really cool because I haven't played a phone game at this level of quality, I don't think, ever before. I mean, Pokemon Go to the polls. I think we were just joking about that.
Did you see like how this compared to Pokemon Go in terms of downloads?
No,
it blew it out of the water.
Yeah, really? It beat it. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I saw that. I haven't read a headline since this one, but I saw it in the
and
first.
It's not even like free downloads. It was like paid the $10.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome.
I'm sorry, guys. I really got to take a tinkle.
Do you? That's fine. Yeah, it's good. Sorry. It was good to have you. We'll see you next week, Preston.
Hopefully. I gotta go to work, guys.
Yeah. Sorry. All right. Have fun. No, but Super Mario Run is really cool, and perhaps you can play it a bit before you leave today, just to mess around.
Maybe.
See. I mean, of course, you can download the free version as well. Yeah.
It's only $10.
Yeah.
So.
Thankfully, hopefully, this is the case. My mother said there's a possibility of me upgrading my phone through this weird loophole in Sprint this coming Thursday, which will inevitably allow me to acquire larger storage on my phone, so we'll never have to worry about not having a camera.
Yeah.
On this
YouTube
channel
way, you can
again.
Have both Pokemon Go and Mario Run.
Right. Yeah.
You can play 2 games.
I don't think I'm going to return to Pokemon Go, but I tell you what I am going to return to.
What's that?
Good old Hearthstone from our good friends at Blizzard.
Dude, I haven't played that in months.
I think Hearthstone is a wonderful winter game. To sit down by a nice warm fire, a nice beverage, and play some Hearthstone.
On your phone? Or on the... I think it's more of a tablet game or a computer game.
I like it on the Plus because it's a big enough screen for me. But I've also played it on iPad, and I haven't played it on my laptop or anything, but...
I remember back when it first came out to the iPad, I almost considered getting an iPad just because Hearthstone was on it.
It looks awesome on an iPad. I bet Super Mario Run looks great on an iPad too. Yeah. Granted, I have the first generation of the iPad, so
maybe not.
It doesn't look quite as pretty, but it is just seeing on a big screen is really cool.
Yeah. And they also have those giant iPads.
They do. That's huge. I think they're called iPad Pros. Can you confirm that, Preston? Yes, that's correct. But yeah, that's all I played this week. It was a fun week of gaming. My surgery thankfully went well. The recovery has been smooth for the most part. It just seems like the closer I get to healing, the more pressure I have in my face. So right now it hurts to talk. But I'm glad to be here regardless and glad to be alive.
Do you want me to read the news for you?
If you want. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. We have like no news. It's literally 2 short things before our main topic.
Okay.
You can if you
want.
I'll
just do it to get some... pressure off your nose.
Okay, well, allow me then. Hey, man, what's the news?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, that hurt my face to laugh.
Is that the first time you've said that?
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Nintendo Switch Live presentation. Taking place on January 12th, live stream from Tokyo at 8 p.m. PST, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Nintendo confirms both release date and price will be announced, assuming a launch lineup will be announced as well.
That is so cool, man.
That makes me so hard in the pants.
Does it? Can I feel?
Yeah.
I'll feel with my foot. Quick story. I don't think I've told this on the podcast. You and I have discussed this multiple times, but one time, me, Preston, Jacob, Preston's girlfriend at the time, and a couple other people went to Chili's, the restaurant Chili's. We happened to enjoy that restaurant. And
do I have a boner?
No. I was sitting next to Preston's girlfriend at the time, and you were sitting directly across from her. So I took my foot and made it look as if, or feel as if, she was digging her foot into Jacob's crotch. And I'll never forget, I was just rubbing it good too with my foot. And I'll never forget, I was looking out the corner of my eye because I wanted him to realize I was like trying not to laugh. But I remember Jacob looking up in like confusion and disbelief, like directly at Preston's girlfriend, like, what the hell are you doing right now? And he was like looking around to see if anyone else was paying attention. And I think he originally finally caught on that I was laughing, but it was me, masseusing your crotch with my foot.
I remember that very fondly.
Yeah, how did that story spawn? What were you just talking about?
He got a boner because of the Switch.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Did you get a boner when I did that?
No. Okay. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
I was just curious. But no, that's really exciting.
Maybe it was that
Nintendo.
Good food you were eating gave you a boner.
Maybe.
It wasn't good.
Chips and salsa.
A foot fetish.
Perhaps. Maybe.
Gentlemen, did you guys see the Switch on the Jimmy Fallon show?
Yeah. I skimmed through that video.
Where he went to the Switch to play Zelda.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That sold me right there.
Awesome.
Nice. I was probably going to pre-order on anyways, but after seeing that, I was like, yes.
You're like, yes,
I will.
I love Jimmy
this.
Fallon. Yes.
Yes. So it just, just how it like actually worked like the trailer said, and it went and he was running around. And at the time I did see some Nintendo channel I follow on Facebook did a frame rate test between the Switch version that they showed on Jimmy Fallon compared to the Wii U version, and it runs better.
On Switch?
Yes.
Okay,
like,
cool.
Based on the headline, I watched some of it, they said it ran like way better. So that's exciting.
Apparently,
the draw distance is better in what they showed as well. So, I'm very excited. If the rumors are true, where it's like $250, I cannot throw my money fast enough.
Oh, absolutely! Those things are going to sell like crazy.
Yeah,
if that's the case.
I'm sure there's going to be a $250 base model. I'm sure. Hopefully, like if there's a $300 model, there'll be an upgrade in the storage for sure.
The Super Mario bundle.
Yeah,
I'd be all in on that. No, that's really cool to have an official date. It's January 12th,
yep.
Correct?
Yep.
No, that's awesome. We'll definitely be tuning in and covering that at the turn of the year.
Absolutely.
But I'm pumped to finally have some finite answers to the release date and price, so that's cool.
Speaking of the Switch, just published today, and this is Christine... Lord, please forgive me.
Yeah, don't even pronounce that name.
Christine from Nerdmite.
Yeah.
Just published today, these new patents were filed by Nintendo with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office back in June. The patents, though indirectly worded, mention a device that can be mounted on the head of the user by connecting together the two belts. Well, unless Nintendo is making me a pretty headband, I'd say these are fairly clear statements. Good one, Christine.
Yeah.
We should make it clear, however, that just because a patent is published doesn't mean the patented thing will actually happen. Patents are essentially for placeholding ideas, not in any way confirming them. I have to mess up, of course, to keep the tradition of messing up the
news. Absolutely.
So, yeah. Oh, and what Nintendo games would you like to experience in VR, gentlemen? But yeah, obviously, like she said, there we've seen patented stuff for, like, Vita having like two triggers and stuff, which obviously that's not going to happen.
Right.
Well, I hope it does, but obviously it's probably not going to happen.
Uh-huh.
The first Switch that they showed, that was that stupid looking round thing.
Yeah.
There was a patent for that too. So obviously I don't think they're going to do this, because I forgot who said it. I don't know if it was Miyamoto or Reggie Fils-Aimé, but they said they are not looking to get into the VR industry right now. So I don't know if this was just like, they were looking at it a little bit ago to kind of see what it was, but the newest thing I heard is they didn't want to get in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
So they already had a failure with a type of device like this, with the Virtual Boy.
Yeah, called the Wii U.
Bombed big time. I'm talking about something you can strap to your head, idiot.
Yeah. I'm just talking about the Wii U.
But yeah, what games would be cool?
I know that's the big question. I thought, regardless of where they do it, if there's anything specific in VR you think would be fun.
Maybe,
I think Mario would be awesome.
How so?
Yeah, how would you?
VR Worlds.
Exactly.
Not VR Worlds.
No, the Playroom.
Yes.
Exactly.
You
like
never
that.
Played that.
It's crazy good.
That one fun. Specific game in Playroom I told you was like a 3D Mario game. If they made a Mario like that in VR, that'd be awesome.
Heck yeah, dude.
I was going to say cool. Star Fox, maybe.
Yeah. Yes.
That'd be cool.
Yes. I don't see how they could do a Zelda.
Yeah.
I don't see how you could do that.
Me neither. I could see something then dabbling in the world of Zelda with NVR. Like, oh, you can shoot his bow and arrow at a tree trunk or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think Metroid could be potentially cool in VR if done right. I know they haven't really nailed the first person.
With
you
in the visor and stuff, that'd be cool.
That could be kind of cool. And nothing else specific, but ultimately for me, Mario, I think it'd be cool in that style of the Playroom. That was one of my favorite VR experiences on PlayStation VR was that one specific
maybe
thing.
Maybe Mario Kart. Something like that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just can't wait for Switch. It's cool that, I mean, they're doing something pretty bold already, just trying to tackle the handheld and console in one spot type situation. So that in itself is really cool. The patent may or may not turn out being a thing, but it's fun to speculate nonetheless. Yeah.
And how is that? I mean, I know cell phones can do VR to an extent, but I can't imagine that this type of VR will be like even close to the level of like any of the other stuff out right now.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So granted, we don't know like the exact specs of this thing, but it can't be that powerful.
Yeah.
Anywho, Yooka-Laylee is coming April 11th, 2017 for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, and I believe the Switch.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. They canceled the Wii U port, version, and I think they're putting it on Switch again, just like the Black Chocobos. Don't hold me to it, but I'm pretty sure I read that headline somewhere.
Uh-huh.
For $40, and there's a physical copy you can buy, which is amazing for me.
That is.
Are you guys, I know we've said we're excited in Yooka-Laylee. Are we still excited?
I totally am. Yeah.
The new gameplay they showed with this announcement got me even more excited. That snake wearing the pants is like the funniest thing.
I love the sound design of the game. All the characters, their funny noises they make when they talk is just hilarious to me.
Yeah. I never really, I would rent Banjo-Kazooie back in the day, but it being like a collect-a-thon where all its gameplay was pretty much built on collecting stuff, and I was a complete inept, stupid child.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't very good at that, so I really don't know how I would like that today, so I'm excited to just see if I do like that style of gameplay with Yooka-Laylee. But its art style and just the presentation alone of it just being like super like happy and just fun and stuff, that is drawing me in a lot. So, yeah, I'm excited to try it.
Absolutely.
And I think if you pre-order it now, you can get access to the Playroom demo where you can kind of just like run around and do stuff.
That's cool.
So,
no, I'm super excited about that, especially with all the violence and death in video games today. I just want to have some fun in a colorful, playful world.
Exactly. Yeah. But I guess we're getting to the the main topic.
We are, right. It was a very small news week.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, I mean, I wasn't even here for PSX or anything.
No, you have any thoughts to throw
yeah, what did PSX?
What did you think about these new Zelda gameplay at the Game Awards?
Oh, I thought it looked great. Mm-hmm. That actually made me more excited than any of the other stuff we've seen up until this point, so right. I cannot wait for that game.
Yeah, me too.
As far as PSX goes, since I wasn't here, I thought it was, from start to finish, I loved it. Even games I wasn't necessarily interested in, just there was so much hype before and after it. It's like I just liked everything I saw. Mm-hmm. I like would have bet money that with them showing Uncharted at the beginning, I thought that for some reason was Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Uh-huh.
So but that looks cool. I'm excited for that. With it being like it's like not DLC, but it is DLC because I think you still get it with your season's pass and stuff, because you know
it's
this
not
was,
part of the base game.
It's not part of the base game. It's kind of just like Left Behind was, but they said it was, I don't know if you guys saw on the panel they did, it's longer than Left Behind, shorter than Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
So that's between 10 and 1 hour. So
that's
anywhere
awesome.
In between there.
I'm excited
so
to play it.
Yeah, it definitely looks cool. I like Chloe a lot. She was like really cool in Uncharted 2 especially.
I'm excited to get more on Nadine as well.
Yeah.
I thought
absolutely.
She would, I won't say she was underutilized in the main story, but people have argued like, oh, if you took her out, isn't it much of a difference?
Yeah.
I think she was a cool muscle.
It gave like the army that you're fighting like a purpose to be there. It's not just like random guys
exactly.
You're fighting. Like it's like, no, this is part of her military and stuff.
But I could tell there's more to her that we haven't explored yet. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. I'm kind of forgetting things from there, but Ni No Kuni 2 looked really cool.
It did.
Yeah, yeah. Like I was really interested in the first one when it came out, never got around to playing it, but that looks really cool. the Crash Bandicoot gameplay looked way better than I thought it was going to look. That was really cool. I know there's other stuff that I'm missing that necessarily isn't at the top of my list, but I was like, oh, that's really cool. I'm going to play that. Obviously, The Last of Us 2. I almost had a mental breakdown watching that. And the I was inside a rack wiring stuff, and it was on, and I was like, oh! And everybody like looked at me because I saw all the rumors saying that was going to happen, but you know, I don't want to get my thoughts up. But I told you what gave me like... made me 99% sure that this was going to happen is a podcast that I listen to very frequently, PS I Love You, you know, obviously the most famous PlayStation podcast. They didn't talk about it. They did their predictions. They didn't say a word about it, which they've stated on previous podcasts that if they know something is going to be there, they can't say anything. And obviously with the amount of rumors on the internet going around and they didn't even comment on it, I was kind of putting two to two together, being like, holy crap, could this actually happen? So yeah, I kind of thought it was going to happen, but I didn't want to get my hopes up. And just watching that footage with the crowd and stuff just gets you even more hyped with everybody going crazy. So I am so excited. I'm so excited to see it is actually, I know we've had tons of discussions on here about like what we would like to see, but I loved him saying like The Last of Us is Joel and Ellie, like that is it. That makes me happy to know that we're probably not going to get like a side story in this universe. But in like they reiterated time and time again during that panel, especially, and even after, to just trust them. Like, that's what I don't understand. I've seen a lot of people getting mad that like, why are they making a sequel? Why are they doing this? I'm like, guys, if these guys had a track record of making horrible sequels, then okay, I can see where you would kind of be like a little hesitant and stuff, but like, come on, these guys know what they're doing. Even when they were asked about The Last of Us 2 before they had announced it, they were talking about like, we're not going to make this unless we know we can do it justice, we know there's a story to tell. So like, not that anybody in our community is thinking this, but I've just seen it out there, and obviously they're seeing it too, because they have to say these things like, trust us guys, like we know what we're doing, like yeah, we need to trust them. Until Naughty Dog screws the pooch on something, there's no reason for us to not put like our complete trust in them. And I'm excited out of my mind for this game. Probably gonna come out in 2020 or something.
My prediction is very late 2018 or Q1 2019.
I'm thinking 2019. Even if they say it's 2018, it's gonna be delayed into 2019.
Definitely.
So Naughty Dog always delays their games. Like we saw with Uncharted 4, The Last of Us only had one delay. I think it was from like only a month or two out into when it came out in June. But yeah, just take your time.
I'll never forget that day when you and I went and picked up Last of Us together and Taco Bell.
I know.
That was a great
day. What a great day.
And then I remember you had played through the very beginning before I did, and you like burst into my room. And I think you were on the verge of tears, if I'm not mistaken.
It was so sad.
And you were like, have you played the beginning yet? I was like, no, I'm still in the middle of it. You're like, okay, I'll be back in a minute. So, yeah, that was a great day.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. Hopefully it's like an Uncharted 1 to Uncharted 2 thing, where Uncharted 2's its set pieces and stuff just blew the first one out of the water. Hopefully the second one can do that with emotional stuff. So we'll see. Not that has anything to do with our main topic. Just wanted to say something. But yes, Game of the Year 2016, the Game Awards gave it to Overwatch.
They did.
Which is deserving. Is it my Game of the Year? Absolutely not. Is it one of my favorite games of the year? Absolutely it is. But yeah, how do you want to discuss? Are we going to discuss our personal Game of the Years?
Yeah, I was going to say we will discuss what we think is the best game to be released that we've played.
Best game
in 2016.
Not our favorite.
Yeah,
what we think is the best.
And then later on we'll talk about our favorites of the year.
Okay.
Because that is different. For example, my Game of the Year, I'm not going to, well, it's kind of obvious, but my Game of the Year is different from some of my favorite games of the year. But that's kind of how we'll do it. But we'll talk about the best game we played, and we'll give some honorable mentions out there as well. But who wants to start?
I guess I'll start. Okay. My Game of the Year, the best game I played, the game that like stayed with me and stuff, and that just on a technical level, presentation level, and even a gameplay level, really impressed me a ton. It's obviously I'm a PlayStation fanboy. It's got to be Uncharted 4. I don't think any game that's come out this year has surpassed everything that Gabe's done gameplay wise. Uncharted 4 or the Uncharted series doesn't have amazing gameplay. It doesn't have bad gameplay by any means. Mm-hmm. Like, the firefights are very intense and very engaging. The stealth is very fun. But I think as an overall package, Uncharted 4 is the best game that has come out this year. And I think a close second. I haven't played enough Final Fantasy to know. That could... I don't see that surpassing what I think is being the best game of the year. It's definitely probably going to be one of my favorite games of the year. I already know that after playing 6 hours. But I think at a second... to Uncharted 4, I think it's Dishonored 2. I think in terms of presentation, in terms of the level design and stuff, that was very close to being my game of the year. Hmm. So yeah, those are the two that really stand out for me. Granted, they were when we talk about favorites, obviously Doom's going to be there. Freaking loved Doom. You know, all the other games, Overwatch, Deus Ex, Mankind Divided, blah blah blah. But yeah.
Awesome.
Say it again. My game of the year is Uncharted 4.
Yeah, I will bounce off of you and also say that Uncharted 4, I think, was the best game I played this year. I mean, there were countless games. Did Quantum Break come out this year?
Yeah. I think so.
I think it did.
I forgot about
it. It came out
game.
In like in April, I think. Okay. But that and...
came out in March, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say Quantum Break was the only other that I can think of, like, third-person narrative-driven game that I played this year on Xbox One, just to give that a shout-out, because I thought that was a pretty solid game. Nowhere near Uncharted.
I wasn't a big fan of the actual gameplay.
I mean, neither
in that
was
game.
I.
It was just, it was engaging enough to keep me going. I was kind of just playing to get to the next cutscene or the right. next
episode. It was the story that
the
kept
show.
Me yeah. strung along, for sure. But I thought Quantum Break was pretty solid, but as far as, like you said, overall package on all, it hit all the marks in Uncharted 4 storytelling. And like you said, gameplay is fine. It isn't like mind blowing by any means, but it is developed incredibly well. Like, yeah. It isn't just the firefights, and they are engaging. The stealth's awesome, but it just feels amazing to play mm-hmm. to. It just feels buttery smooth aiming and shooting in that game.
Are you interested at all in that survival mode?
I am, actually. I thought
it
that
looks
was really interesting.
Really cool, and I've heard nothing but great things about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that alone, for the people that I see a lot of people in the game industry poo-poo, which for some reason, in all the Game of the Year talks, Uncharted 4 is getting very poo-pooed on this year.
Really?
Yeah. A few of, like, especially IGN and stuff, they have constant gripes with it that it overstays its welcome. There's needless fights at the end and stuff, and I couldn't disagree with them more. Mm. But the same people talking about that are talking about how good the survival mode is. And okay. I'm like, well, the gameplay is good then if you guys are raving about this.
Yeah.
But I do think Uncharted's gameplay gets undersold a little bit, because granted, that's what a lot of people... That doesn't really... I don't know if that makes sense. When you think of Uncharted, you think of the set piece moments, you think of the characters and stuff. The gameplay is just a part of it. So yeah. I think a lot of people don't really highlight that the gameplay is really good, because it's everything else is like perfect, but the gameplay is not as perfect. So right. they kind of like put that down, but it still is great.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I think another thing, notable achievement of that game, is the fact that it is the fourth one in the series, and the fact that they were able to take all these beloved characters for a fourth time and not only wrap up this story in such a perfect way, but in a way that's still exciting and feels fresh compared to playing three games that came before it. Mm-hmm. And even the addition of, like, I know it's some people felt like it was overdone, but I enjoyed all the sliding down slippery rocks and stuff. I thought that was fun. Yeah. And then combining that with having to leap off and use your rope to swing from. I thought the rope was one of the funnest mechanics mm-hmm. in the game, for sure. And I just thought the little minute details they added to the gameplay experience made it feel fresh to me. And it looks beautiful, of course, and all the performances are nailed by, you know, Troy Baker, Nolan North, and I always forget the girl's name who plays Elena.
I forgot, too.
Yeah, but all of them were wonderful, even Sully, and just to see their story play out in this final epic adventure, and then it all wrap up, especially the epilogue. Epilogue was unexpected, for sure, but it absolutely nailed it at the end, and made it, I thought, the perfect ending to send that series off. So I'm excited for survival mode as well. I definitely want to try it.
Yeah.
But
that'd be definitely be something that with me being off this coming week, definitely. I think it's 3-player too. Like, all of us could hop in that. Yeah, it's not 4, it's literally 3.
That sounds
is
exciting.
Is it a free update?
Yep.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yep.
No, I'm totally down for that.
That'd be really cool for us to play. And it's not just horde mode. It's like,
yeah, I watched the trailer. I think there's like bosses and
stuff. There's bosses, there's like different objectives that keep you moving around the map. After every 10 ways the map changes and
is
stuff
it, is it new maps or is it like
yes there are new maps.
Okay.
Yep. There's a train wreck from Uncharted 2 is one of the maps, and I believe one of the villages from Uncharted 2 is one of the new maps as well. So throwback to that. That's really cool.
Cool.
But yeah, Jacob, what's your game of the year?
Very, very, very tough decision had to be made for me. The two games that I had to decide between were these two right here.
Overwatch and Uncharted?
Yes.
Okay.
In the end, I went with Uncharted 4. Because, like I've said before, games that have emotional ties and that make me feel a certain way, I usually... those get me every time. And I am a huge sucker for good narrative in a game, and Uncharted 4 has by far the best narrative this year, in my opinion, and that's ultimately why I picked it. Not because the gameplay, you know, like you guys were saying, it's not like this masterpiece in gameplay mechanics, but in the end, Uncharted 4, it's the most memorable game this year for me. But everything, like every other part of me wanted to say Overwatch because I love what Overwatch is. I have so much fun with it. Almost every week I play that game. And the big thing with Overwatch is the community that is built around it. I've never seen a game like blow up like Overwatch has, especially like lately. Mm-hmm. Like especially on Reddit. Like if you go on Reddit, it's one of the biggest Reddits for any game. It's nice. Incredible. I get on there every day just to see all the cool stuff that people post. And yeah, it was a tough choice for me, honestly, but I went with Uncharted 4. But I don't know if I'll ever play it again, but because I played it 3 times, you know.
Right.
But I really enjoyed both of those games. But game of the year for me is Uncharted 4.
Awesome.
Yeah. And also Uncharted 4, when I was doing my pro stuff, looking at the graphics and stuff, and just, you know, kind of going back to see like what the updates did. Uncharted 4 was the only game I stuck back in there that I kept playing, and then I caught myself and I was like, oh, I've already played this. Like it's like I wanted to keep playing it again.
Uh-huh.
Right. So I mean, that's one of the few games.
That's why I'm so excited for this new standalone DLC. Yeah. I'm so excited to just get back in that world. I love that game.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Even if it's not Nathan, that doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, I'm excited because it takes place after too, which is just really cool to just see like if there's any nods to like what happened after or whatever.
I thought for sure they were gonna do something with
Sully
and Troy.
Sam.
I think that was too obvious because they like to do something that is very just something that people weren't expecting. Yeah. The same thing with Left Behind. People were thinking it had to do with that dude in the sewers, like Ish, or I forgot his name or something, or just like another character. It's like, no, we're showing you how Ellie got bit. Like, well, that's cool. That's something that you know, you typically wouldn't think of because that story alone doesn't sound like there's going to be really combat or anything like that, which a lot of people argue that DLC shouldn't have had combat in the first place.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I think
like
you were
saying, I'm really glad Chloe's getting back because she's great.
She's awesome.
She's in 3 too, right?
Her with Cutter are kind of doing their own thing and you eventually team up with them at some point. But
it's going to be nice to, see where she's been.
Do you think we'll encounter, spoiler alert, just in case I can't remember because I can't even think straight with my face like this, but does Cutter survive Uncharted 3?
Yes.
Okay, so do you think there's a chance of encountering him in the DLC?
Maybe.
That'd be interesting. I know he's in the multiplayer. You can play him in the multiplayer.
I think he survived. There was one point in the game where you thought he was dead.
Right.
But
and then he pops back up.
Yeah, but he popped back up. So okay. I'm pretty sure he's alive.
Yeah. So hashtag not fanboys, man. With
Uncharted
4.
I know.
No, but I mean, anyone who's played Uncharted 4, not to put words in people's mouth, but I think most people recognize that it's a phenomenal achievement on all fronts. But
it's a shame that it is only on PS4 because I wish everyone could play
it. It is a spectacular video game experience. I mean, honorable mentions for me, Doom is a huge one. And I didn't realize just how much I love Doom until I watched. Have you heard of Andy O'Dwyer's?
Yeah, I have them favorited all on my YouTube.
Andy.
Yeah.
Danny
I have
O'Dwyer.
Them all favorited to go watch them. Yeah, okay. There's 3 parts, right?
Yeah, Doom documentary they did. I was like, holy crap, I forgot how awesome that game is. Like, and it was an amazing documentary, too. The fact that it was crowdfunded, I'm like, I will totally be a patron to this because I would watch countless documentaries like this, especially for games that I played. So I had a lot of interest in Doom because it really came out of nowhere for us when they announced it at E3. I was like, holy crap, that looks awesome. We were pumped about it then. Mm-hmm. And one of the few games I platinum this year just due to how much fun I had with it. And like I said, if you haven't watched Danny O'Dwyer's documentary, his YouTube channel is called No Clip. It's this little crowdfunded documentary thing he's doing to cover video games. And very unique way to get a glimpse into the id that did it, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And into their studio and the individuals that were behind bringing the game to life and all the challenges they went through creating it, and just the final product is so awesome. And it just reminded me how much I love the game, and I'm probably going to mess around in it again sometime this week just because it made me want to play it again so bad. I was like, man, that game's good.
I know some new DLC came out for it.
I think it's the final DLC, yeah, too.
Which, that seeing that made me want to hop back in. Mm-hmm. But, Doom is so good. I had to delete my save due to a trophy being glitched and play through the entire game again, upgrading everything.
Yeah.
And I didn't even care. It was just so fun. Mm-hmm. Like, that game is just flat out fun, the definition of fun.
Right.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it. The multiplayer, I know the multiplayer isn't the biggest thing ever, but from what I've played, it's very solid. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. I literally have no complaints about Doom besides their trophy being glitched.
Right.
So,
yeah, thankfully, you were freaking me out when I was pursuing those trophies because you're like, it's not working for me. And thank the Lord when I got to that trophy, it popped. I was like, oh, praise the Lord. Because it was fun, but it was a good bit of work because I had to play through the game, I think, 3 whole times before I finally got all of them. But as you said, I was never bored doing that. But easily one of my biggest honorable mentions. Another honorable mention would be Dark Souls 3. Mainly because I'm still new to these games. Like, Bloodborne was the first game I played from software, and that style of gameplay was awesome to me because I'd never played Demon Souls, never played Dark Souls before that. And so obviously I was very excited for Dark Souls 3. I thought it was fantastic. I didn't platinum the game, and I realized how much work went into the platinum, all the tiny little you can miss countless trophies, and I'd have to replay the entire thing again. And at that point, I just wanted to move. I think I wanted to move on to Ratchet and Clank, like fully commit my time to that. But from start to finish, I love that game despite the challenges I had with a handful of bosses. I know many people have said, oh, it's not as challenging as previous Dark Souls. Well, to me, it was a pretty significant challenge because I haven't played all the games that came before it. But I had a crap ton of fun with it, and thankfully, I beat every boss. I didn't beat all the bosses in Bloodborne because I didn't realize how deep those games go. I didn't realize you could miss certain things. So when I beat Bloodborne, I was like, wow, I beat it. Great. But I realized I missed like 7 or 8 bosses. But I made sure I beat every boss in Dark Souls, and I was proud of that for sure. But that was a super fun experience as well. So honorable mentions for me as far as Game of the Year contenders would be Doom and Dark Souls. And I mean, I could mention other ones. Dishonored 2 is another one, like you said. It was fantastic. But yeah, I mean, all the other ones are mostly just favorites on my end. So any honorable mentions from you, Jacob?
So I've already talked about Overwatch. Everyone knows we like Overwatch, so that's another one. Final Fantasy 15 for me. One of the best stories that was told in a game this year, in my opinion. Not as good as Uncharted 4, obviously. That's why it's Game of the Year. But, you know, the combat in Final Fantasy is probably the funnest combat I've played this year out of any game. There's so many different ways you can kill things. It's just cool. Like, you can go with a pistol, you can go with a sword, two-handed sword. You know, there's so many different ways to just have fun and just try new things in the game. And there's so many different skills in the tree and stuff. You can just, there's so many ways you can play the game, and I really like that about the game. And the open world, there's tons of stuff to do, which is also cool. Any open world game should have tons of quests that you can go do, different kinds of quests, all that kind of stuff. Uncharted 4 is my honorable mention.
Uncharted 4 is your honorable mention?
Final Fantasy 15. Okay. Those are like my 3 games that I like more than anything this year.
Sweet.
Preston?
I already said Dishonored 2. That was very close to Uncharted 4. The narrative, it's fine. It was fine in the first one. Just what that game does so well is just giving you options and giving you so many different ways to, you know, get to your goal and to execute your goal. I love that game. I'm a huge stealth game fan, and I had a big discussion with myself. Like,
are you talking about Deus Ex right now?
No, I'm talking about Dishonored. Did I say Deus Ex?
Not yet.
Okay. I was with Deus Ex. I don't know if that was at the time I played that game. I was just really open to that type of game. But I love Mankind Divided. I know I've talked about it a lot. And I keep having this internal debate on which game I liked better. And that says something about Mankind Divided, because Dishonored 2 is like top-notch stealth. Like, it is so good. And I think I'd give the edge to Dishonored 2, just because there's more ways to do stuff like that, as opposed to where Deus Ex, you enter a room, you can go in this vent, you can bust this wall out. You can't really come up with your own solutions. The game gives you solutions.
And you have to just pick.
Yeah, and if oh, I have this skill, therefore this particular level will be easier, but this skill on another level might take me a route that's not as easy as if I pick this other skill. I still love Mankind Divided, and I know there's one more piece of DLC coming out for it in 2017, and I'm very excited to dive back in it. I will occasionally just jump back into one of my old saves and go through levels and stuff. I did that the other day, and it's really fun. I will give it, that's definitely one of my favorite games this year. I don't think by any means it's Game of the Year material at all, but it is definitely one of the funnest games that I've played this year, in my opinion. Yeah, I guess I decided right there. I think Dishonored 2 is a better stealth game, but that doesn't put anything like bad on Mankind Divided. Freaking love that game. Doom, obviously, like you were talking about, love that game to death. It is just straight up fun, so awesome. Overwatch, I haven't been the biggest Overwatch fan, and I really don't have any time to play with it, but I completely, like Jacob said, it's really cool when a game comes out that everybody can get together. It's exactly the same thing that happened like with Call of Duty 4. It's cool to just be with a game at the time that everybody's just going crazy about it. It just gives this
I don't think
feeling
it would be
to the game.
Special without
yeah
that,
yeah
honest.
It's just, yeah, it just gives you this really cool feeling knowing that you're playing with a really cool community and stuff. So I really appreciate that. And in terms of multiplayer games, it's definitely one of my favorite games of the year. Yeah, those are really the Watch Dogs was cool. I wouldn't say it was one of my favorite games of the year, but it surprised me. Like, I wasn't even going to get it in the first place, but I heard a lot of people saying, like, hey, man, this game's actually good. So I went and got it, and it's really cool. I'm going to say Infinite Warfare. That single-player campaign still stuck out with me, and I'll admit it, the credits going, I kind of got sad.
Yeah.
There was, like, it definitely struck a chord with me emotionally, and I never thought I'd say that about a Call of Duty campaign. So I think Infinity Ward should be praised for that campaign. I know nobody likes the multiplayer. Really, I haven't heard anybody that likes it. But I loved the single player. It was great. I think out of all the first-person shooter campaigns, I'll say out of the three, Titanfall, Battlefield 1, and Infinite Warfare, love Titanfall 2. Definitely one of my favorite games of the year. Breaks my heart to see that it's not selling well.
Yeah.
Speaking of games not selling well, Dishonored 2 didn't even chart in the top 10.
I saw that.
That is depressing. So
it's my fault.
I don't know.
Yeah, that one extra purchase, Jacob, you failed Dishonored.
There's a lot of games I didn't buy.
I don't know what that means about the future, because critically, it's beloved. Like, everybody loves that game that plays that thing. So that sucks. Everybody loves Titanfall 2 for the most part. It's not selling well. So yeah. there are too many games coming out this year.
That is the
really
problem.
So it needs to be spread out. But in terms of those three shooters, still haven't played Battlefield 1 yet. I might pick that up after Christmas. Who knows how much time I have to play online, which is why I haven't picked it up in the first place. Yeah. But
even then, just like playing the vignettes, it's worth it.
But out of the two I played, I love Infinite Warfare. I thought Titanfall 2's campaign was great as well. But again, Infinite Warfare is one of my favorites. So that's really all that's sticking out to me. I really didn't sit down and like write. I like Dark Souls. If Quantum Break came out this year, that blows my mind because I don't even remember.
It feels like
that.
A lifetime ago. What about Ratchet and Clank?
That's a great game. Definitely one of the best games.
That was like my childhood favorite game is Ratchet and Clank.
Mm. Yeah. I actually have the originals on
I have the
PS Vita. It's just so much better. Obviously, on PS4, just the controls and stuff, it's like so hard to play on the Vita. Just like all our modern mechanics now of like aiming and switching weapons and stuff, it is just so old on like the old consoles and stuff. Like, it's just so weird.
Do you think they're going to maybe remake the second game, or are they going to make a new Ratchet and Clank game? If they're going
to
make another
one. I think they'll make a new one.
I would love to see a brand new one.
I think this one was kind of like testing the waters to see like how it's received. Obviously, Insomniac is head deep in Spider-Man right now.
Do they have just one like team making a game?
I don't know. They make a lot of games.
I hope they have all hands on deck for Spider-Man.
Yeah, I want that game like today.
Yeah,
that's probably going to be my game of the year. The year it comes out, I'm already calling it now.
Yeah.
But great season for gaming. There were so many good games. I'm probably forgetting games that I had a great time with, but these are the ones that kind of just stand out right now. I really didn't sit down and like write out a whole list or anything. But yeah.
Yeah, mine are a lot of the same as your favorites. Titanfall 2 for sure, Battlefield 1. I even like the BioShock collection. I haven't even finished any of the games in the collection. Yeah.
I need to play that.
Granted, those came out a while ago.
They did.
I've got to play
But I really enjoyed playing those again.
I platinumed 2 and Infinite while I was out of town, which was fun.
Here's a fun question for you since you platinum so many games. Now, I only platinumed a handful. I platinumed Ratchet & Clank, Doom, which something else I was going to talk about before the episode was over is I finished Telltale's Batman. Obviously,
that's an easy platinum
for obvious reasons. But
yeah, what do you have to do? Do you just have to play
it? You just play it. Yeah.
That's it?
Is the final episode good?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay.
It's pretty climactic ending for sure.
Okay, cool.
Is I'll the probably physical play copy that out yet?
Like yeah, it's been, it out. Is. It's been out.
The only annoying...
You just have to It comes with a code to download the rest of them.
Only one thing annoying happened that entire... Well, one funny thing, one thing annoying thing happened with that game. The annoying thing was when I beat the game, the platinum didn't pop. I was like, what the heck? And that's one of the main draws of me wanting to finish it. And I was like, oh, what in the world? So I went looking trophies. It said I never played Chapter 3. And I was like, I distinctly remember playing Chapter 3. So I had to replay Chapter 3 again. That's the longest chapter out of all of them. And, it sucks because it's like, well, if you play this, all the decisions you made after this have all been deleted. You have to play it again. I'm like, well, I don't really care. I'm not doing that again. So I had to replay Chapter 3 just to get the platinum, which is frustrating. But the only other funny part, I think other people have commented on this in the review, but the final episode, or maybe it was episode 4, I can't remember. Yeah, it was the final episode. There's an invisible man that has just as, it's kind of like Assassin's Creed Unity. It has the eyes and the teeth that are just floating around the room the whole time, and it's so funny. But other than that, I thought the storytelling was very unique for Batman, like we've said countless times. Original Batman story, it'll be interesting to see where they take it next if they do a second season. I assume they will, especially because they introduce a pretty massive character at the end there. But no, I thought it was great. It's the first Telltale experience I've had, and don't really have any complaints other than having to replay a chapter again.
Dude, speaking of that glitch or bug or whatever that is, in Final Fantasy 15, Prompto took a picture and... there's a face right on the corner of the picture. You can see their teeth like from the back of their head. Yeah. And you can see like eye sockets. It's terrifying.
Oh man, that's funny. They fixed in the latest patch that Assassin's Creed 2 glitch. It literally says
that
in the
face.
It literally says in the patch notes, fixed NPC's face in act like one chapter whatever it was in.
Yeah.
So
that is so funny. My question to you is going to be, you platinum a lot of games. Yeah. You platinum a crack
30,
ton this
33.
Year. That's impressive.
33 platinums.
Not this year, though, right?
No, altogether.
Yeah. Okay. But this year, out of all the games you platinumed, which one was your favorite to platinum?
To platinum?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that kind of harkens back. Since you platinum everything anyway, it's more like asking, what was your favorite game to play?
Doom was probably my favorite to platinum.
Me too.
Even with its glitch, it was still fun to platinum. Mm-hmm. So
mine was either Ratchet & Clank or...
See, Ratchet & Clank was great, a fun too. Platinum, very too. Similar platinum to Doom in the sense of the way you play it.
Uh-huh. Man,
no, I can't praise Ratchet & Clank enough. If you haven't played it on PS4 and you own it, that is easily one of the best games on PlayStation 4. I absolutely loved it.
There were Watch Dogs 2 was a really easy, but I wanted to punch in a wall of platinum.
Really?
Yeah, the trophies that had to deal with other...
my phone.
Oh, is that Jacob's phone ringing?
Yeah.
Does that ruin the video, you think?
All right.
We cut a few seconds ahead because Jacob got a phone call. Hopefully, I don't call again. Lord knows how I'm going to edit that together, but we'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out. If not, then I'm assuming you're staring at a blank picture or something.
Yeah, thumbnail. It's important. I hope the video works because I have Christmas presents for you at the end.
What?
Yeah, I have one for you that I think you're really going to dig.
I need to
get you
something.
I thought we were doing that next week.
No, I'm just doing it now just because I've had them for so long.
I need to get you both something then. Sorry.
Don't worry
about it. It's
fine.
Sorry, I didn't know.
I still have to get
you. Now it's all awkward now.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, it's just for me?
I have one for both.
It's just me?
Yours is more. Jacob's is less because I haven't figured out what I'm going to get Jacob
yet. Because you hate him.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm not that great. So.
Yeah. Watch Dogs 2. I had a few annoying trophies where you have to invade. Well, okay, this is a pretty cool mechanic. It just kind of is annoying as a trophy. If you go on a rampage in the city, another player will just randomly join your game, and you'll just be doing a quest, and you'll get an update and be like, there's a hacker going nuts over there, dude. Can you go take him out for us? So you can literally stop your mission and just drive over to where this other player is, and he's just causing chaos in your city. Like, I was hacking something, and I heard, like, helicopters flying overhead and, like, war going on down the street, and this random guy...
screaming.
Yeah, it just, like, randomly put me in this guy's game, and I could go stop him. And you have to kill 5 of those guys. But there's also other people in your game trying to kill him too. So you have to get to him first.
Oh, that is annoying.
Yeah, so that was kind of annoying. Like, you have to be the one to kill him.
How often does it happen?
Like, well, you can just look for it. Like, you can go into your phone and, like, just join a bounty, but sometimes it'll randomly happen. I got so lucky on all of mine, whereas a guy was just running down the street, and I would just hit him at a million miles an hour in my car, and he'd go flying, and I'd, like, get the kill. So I got lucky, but there is kind of annoying. You also have to hack a guy successfully for one of the trophies, and I got to, like, 95% twice. And the guy found me, and I had to restart it again.
What a bummer.
I know, that's kind of annoying. But the whole rest of the game is probably one of the easiest platinums I've ever done in my life.
Okay.
Super easy. Very fun, though. Besides, I've been debating on if I should get the game, the Mayo game.
Mayo game?
Yeah, like, Mayo. I shouldn't do it.
I don't know what that
is. It's literally two platinum trophies for 99 cents. You literally, the point of the game
it's
is
one of those
you,
click games where you just tap,
you just tap a mayo jar
currency
and you get a platinum.
That's hilarious.
I've played those kind of games on computer before and they're ridiculous.
No, but it's the whole point of the game is just to give you a platinum. Yeah.
You're paying for
it. You tap a mayo jar. But
how
you get
long
two
do you have
platinums.
To tap it?
A lot.
I don't know. But it's like you can just watch TV and like tap your mayo jar. Right. It's on Vita and PS4 cross buy, so there's two platinums for both.
Wow.
So
that's pretty cool. Maybe I'll do that. I could up my platinum.
Yeah, that's the thing is like I don't know if that's probably
cheap.
It's
not even fun.
Yeah, I know. I probably won't do it just for the sake of like whatever. That's cheating. But not really.
I feel like a platinum trophy should stand for something.
I agree.
Just tapping on a mayo jar is not.
One more thing before we get to community
it's
questions.
Represent hard work.
I think, and the Game Awards reminded me this came out this year. What's your Blood and Wine?
Oh,
spectacular!
So good.
That word's warranted. For
I want to play that game again.
I do too.
I want to. I just want to play it again. Just
I
want to
get
over.
The platinum.
Yeah. Well, I already have the platinum.
I know.
And it's hard. That game is a bitch to platinum. Specifically, getting all the cards, the Gwent cards is like really annoying. So much to the point where I had to buy the guide and like sit down and like check off everything, and there's tons of cards. Mm-hmm. Anyways, if you buy the Game of the Year edition, I think I've already said this, and I did confirm this is real. The Game of the Year edition counts as a different game. So when you play it, you get trophies again.
All of them, right?
All of them.
Yeah.
So I could literally play the game again, and not just for fun, but be getting trophies too.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to do that at some point because I just love that game so much.
There will inevitably be a spot that occurs in the coming years that's just completely dead for like a month or two, and that'll be your window.
Same thing with the Game of the Year edition of Shadow of Mordor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. With all the DLC and stuff.
That's a fun one as well.
That is also a really fun game.
Never finished that game.
It's a good game.
One last question I wanted to ask pertaining to this year before we move on to community questions was, what are some games that you missed from this year that you want to play? Quick ones for me, Overcooked, Last Guardian, and Inside.
Inside for sure. I'm probably not going to get to The Last Guardian this year. I might get it. Somebody might give it to me for Christmas. I don't know. Because I kind of threw the hint out there that I want to play it, so maybe one of my family members caught that.
Perhaps.
Maybe. But I do want to play it. The reviews I've heard of that game make me want to play it a lot. I've actually heard way more positive than negative, and even the negatives aren't really that bad to me. But the one thing that is across the board, everybody said, is a very good emotional story, which is exactly what I want out of those games. Ico was spoiled for me. Shadow of the Colossus was spoiled for me.
Uh-huh.
I want to beat this game.
And better you play it sooner rather than later.
I know, exactly. I want to love that dog bird thing. I want to like become Trico. Invested in it. And if he dies at the end, I'm probably going to weep like a baby.
He probably will.
So I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that doesn't happen. But yeah, definitely want to play that Inside. Yeah, I've heard nothing but great things about that game. Definitely want to play that. Pretty much everything else I at least got to dabble in a little bit. Like Battlefield 1, yeah, I didn't get to that. I want to play that eventually. I at least played the beta, so I kind of, you know, played a little bit. But yeah, I was actually really surprised about me being able to play a ton of these games coming out. Thankfully, once it got towards the gaming season, games were delayed, pushed out. Like, thank God South Park didn't come out this year.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap. If that would have come out this month, then I would have had no time to play it whatsoever. So I'm really glad it's being pushed. I forgot other games that were pushed out of this year.
Does it have a release date yet?
It's early next year, isn't
yeah,
it?
I think so. I think it does have a release date. I just forgot. I'm really thankful Persona got delayed. Not out of this year, but you know. So I'm thankful for these delays. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I got to really everything. I have them at least, and I've played a little bit of them. I haven't been able to spend a lot of time on them, but I at least got to play them and figure out if I want to continue playing them or not. So
totally.
I have lots. Doom, Bioshock Collection.
Are you going to play Watch Dogs at some point?
No, I'm not going to play Watch Dogs.
I'm going to at some point for sure.
I definitely will say if there's nothing else to play and you at least somewhat liked the first one, liked some ideas it had, I definitely would recommend the second one because it is like astronomically better than the first one. Mm-hmm. So,
Rise of the Tomb Raider, Skyrim. I think that's it.
Rise of the Tomb Raider and Doom need to be at the tippy top
of
that list.
I'm playing Rise of the Tomb Raider next. So.
I'm debating on if I want to go Platinum Rise of the Tomb Raider before I start Final Fantasy. Because that's what I did with Watch Dogs. I wanted to get that out of the way. When I play Final Fantasy, I want that to be my focus. And I'm like almost to the end of Tomb Raider. So I'm kind of debating, like, do I just want to go ahead and Platinum Tomb Raider and then hop into Final Fantasy?
Yeah, I'll just knock that out.
So, yeah, that's probably what I'm going to end up doing.
And lastly, Last Guardian. So
awesome.
It's a lot of games for me.
Yeah, overall, man, incredible year of games. One of the best in recent memory for sure. And I'd love to see this trend continue. Next year, we have a ton of anticipated releases, which will be our main topic next week, talking about the most anticipated games of 2017. Courtesy,
I have a quick question for you guys.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Most disappointing game of this year. Mafia 3.
Oh, by far.
Yes.
By far, Mafia 3. Yeah, I totally forgot about it.
Yeah, I know.
I totally
what
forgot.
What a disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. It had a lot of things going for it, but overall, it just was not very good, unfortunately.
Yeah. The sky in that game. Ugh.
It was a bizarre sky
the
to look at.
The most bizarre sky ever.
I can't remember the last time I bought a game and didn't finish it. And that was Mafia 3.
I didn't even come close to finishing
it. I didn't either.
Me neither.
I sold that game.
I played like that, 4
yeah.
hours.
Maybe. I never sell games. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely the most disappointing game. But yeah, like we said,
I need a timer.
Great year overall. And I definitely want to hear everyone's, not only your game of the year, but honorable mentions, your favorites, most disappointing titles of the year, games that you haven't played that you're hoping to get to in the near future. And next week, we'll talk about the most anticipated ones of 2017. So, exciting time in video games. Yeah, sorry, Jacob. Here you go. Yeah, I think that's everything we wanted to cover from the main topic.
All right, you want to get into some community questions?
Dude, let's do it.
This is from Andrew Ash over Gmail. Thanks for emailing us, Mr. Ash.
Now, this is an in-depth question, so...
Yes, it is. It's very long.
Everyone stick with us here. Right.
My question this week is about the topic of games in alpha stages being released to buy at a discount price, but give access to the licensing for the entirety of the game's... I think there's a grammatical error here.
Life cycle.
But give access to the licensing for the entirety of the games and life? Okay, we'll just see where it goes. Minecraft is the biggest one most people know, as it sold an alpha for $20 and by the end of development to a full release was $60. But those who had bought it at 20 had it then, and though the duration of development had full access to the game, getting updates and added features as they were developed. Another example of a game I'm currently sucked into is 7 Days to Die. Coincidentally, another Minecraft-esque game with an added survival zombie aspect that is currently in alpha and being sold for $30. Do you guys feel this is a good business strategy, and do you think more games should follow suit? The developers actively get free game testing as well as active community feedback throughout the development, almost ensuring that the final product is exactly what the fans want. This prevents companies from putting their heart and souls into a game only to have it be crushed by a PR nightmare when it finally releases. Cough, No Man's Sky, cough. Allows fans to either secure their purchase early in development for a cheaper price or wait until full release if they are iffy about the idea of the game, and prevents us, the gamers, from having to essentially buy a broken game for full price and just have the developer come in later apologizing and fixing based on community feedback as it comes in, like Destiny did. I'm in no way am I upset Destiny was fixed as it went, but I would have rather bought a functioning complete game without having to deal with some of the nightmares that came with the original release.
Well, Destiny was a complete game, I guess.
It was.
People would argue against that, but it was a game.
It worked.
I think that was a game that's going through this process in disguise.
Yeah,
I think Destiny 1 was a giant beta, and everyone's finally like, I think this is all a big test for the next one.
But, granted, it was a functional game.
It was.
Whereas I know a big game right now that I thankfully didn't get suckered into, a game that has really cool ideas, is Ark Survival.
Yes.
Which is essentially this. You can get it in the alpha stage, and it actually just got released on PlayStation 4 to do that, yeah. And it is awful. It is running at sub 20 frames per second.
That's how I like my game. It's more cinematic
that way. In like 720p on the PS4. And the Pro...
I saw a paste from our community playing that, so shout out to you.
Yeah, apparently the Pro can get almost 60 at like 900p or something. So it's just a game. I understand. I personally don't like these games in alpha that you can buy because... it just seems like these games, minus a few, they're just in production forever. Yeah. Like, this Ark game has been in production
for years,
forever, and yeah. It just got released on PlayStation, and it apparently is supposed to be coming out early next year, and it still is just a mess.
Right.
In terms of World War Z, I believe is what it was called, they got in a huge fiasco about this. They were a straight up copy of DayZ. They were selling their game instant early access for $20, but it had tons of microtransactions in it. It never really became a full fledged game. I don't really know how the business side of this works. As a consumer, I don't like it. I feel like if your game's in alpha and you want people to test it, put it in alpha and I'll play it and I'll test it for free. I'm not paying $20 for an incomplete game.
All right.
My stance on this is I much prefer the like closed beta kind of testing as far as this kind of thing goes than like have your open beta weeks as it gets closer to release. Mm-hmm. I think like buying an incomplete game is kind of dirty on developers' part.
Yeah.
Not that it's like, I know people enjoy that model, but
it just seems kind of like, I know there are some games that did good, like Minecraft was one of the few exceptions, but a majority of these games that you hear about are just really slimy. They're just like, yeah, just get into the early access and we'll be developing this game forever.
Yeah.
You know?
I think if there's an audience that likes that model, that there clearly is because there's a lot of games doing this, then sure, do that. But like, I'm kind of in the same boat you guys are. Like, I haven't played any of these games at that early stage before. Even Minecraft I hadn't played until it came to 360, and I know it's made a lot of changes.
I don't ever remember
then.
Minecraft being $60.
Me neither.
I don't.
Is it $60?
He was saying when it came out of early access that it was $60.
I don't know.
I've never heard that.
I've never played
way
Minecraft
too much
my entire life.
No, I see. When I played Minecraft, I really enjoyed it. I mean, that's besides the point. But yeah, I'm not. I don't really have a huge opinion on it because I don't dabble in early access games like that. But I think if there's an audience that's willing to stick with the developer and see it through until it's completed, sure, by all means. But I think that's cool that it's an option. That's not an option that I dabble in. But it seems to have benefited. Not all of them, but a handful of games that have gone through this process seem to have been from Minecraft being the most notable one.
And I think this is very much a thing that happens on PC, not so much the consoles. I know Xbox One has an early access program on console, which is where I played Ark. And I know you can kind of do that on PlayStation 4 now with Ark. And I really don't know if I have a lot to say in terms of like really what you asked, because I haven't dabbled in that thing a lot, like getting early access. I think it's cool that if you become one of the early members that you just get the game because you paid for it early. Thank you for doing so. Thank you for giving us feedback and stuff. I've just seen a few cases where the developers can just kind of like, what happens if they just stop working on the game?
Right.
Do you get your money back?
Yeah.
Like,
or what if you get a bad game? Like, what was that game that came out supposed to be like Mega Man? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Mighty Number 9. Yes. Well, that was completely different. That was
I know it's different, but you know, it's crowdfunded.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's your own money. Do your research. Look at some gameplay. If a game like Ark Survival intrigues you, you know, look into it. Look at some gameplay. See if you can at least get a free trial of it. That's what I did on Xbox One. I don't think that's on PS4. I'm not sure. I haven't looked into it. But if you think this game is where, if you think this game is going where you want it to go, then yeah, sure, support the developer, put some money down. I just think, especially on Steam, that some people, obviously you can be slimy in like any type of business model really, but this kind of seems like, you know, it seems like a way that a lot of people are doing some not really cool stuff.
Yeah.
So,
remember when the creators of DayZ said they were putting it on console and stuff?
They're still, they're
like,
I mean, they're still,
like, are they still not done?
I guess.
Like, are they just doing the same thing that this game that he's,
I mean, they're not in early access though. The main point of this is that spend $20 and we're going to get you in, like, play pre-alpha, just play this game that is barely functional and just you help us move it along and stuff. So we're taking your money for a game that isn't completely done yet. We don't know when it's going to be done yet, if it's going to be done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it all comes down to the consumer. Do your research. It's your money. They're not really doing anything illegal. You're paying them. Like, they're not forcing you to pay them. Just, I don't know, do your research. It can help out a game, too. If No Man's Sky went through this, I don't necessarily know if it would have been better.
Well, technically, like, we have done the early access of No Man's Sky just for $60.
Yeah, that's true. Because
they're going to make a lot of changes to that game.
At least No Man's Sky was a functioning game that worked.
Yeah, it's just, it was shallow.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Which is the most ironic thing to say about that game.
Yeah. But the update does look like it adds a lot of interesting stuff that maybe if it was there when I started, I would have been more intrigued to go back.
I get the feeling now if they keep up the trend, they don't just give up on it entirely. If they keep working at it, adding features, I would say in a couple of years that game could probably be pretty awesome if they keep at it.
Nope.
Yeah.
So.
Nope.
I didn't hate No Man's Sky.
I
wasn't even let down because it was exactly what I was expecting.
Exactly. I think that's a whole nother different thing that you can talk about. But yes, thank you very much, Andrew Ash, for that very,
That is a seriously great question, though.
That is a
long one.
I do want to hear other people's thoughts on that as well.
Yeah. This is Christmas Oscar. Describe your favorite game to make it sound as crappy as possible. This is hilarious. Yeah. I don't even know how I'm going to start doing this.
I know. I was thinking of how I would do this.
Describe your favorite game to make it sound. Okay, so I'm going to do. I know I'll do Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
Tell me how to sound as crappy as possible. So you're a really weak kid who has to get a stick and like smack plants.
Okay.
And you go in a tree and he's an ass and he dies. And you just have to roll around so slow. You just roll around this field with nothing to do in it. You just hear, ha, 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 every 5 seconds. Yeah. It gets really annoying. There's this real, to get a horse, you have to do this really confusing thing that, like, if you have never played the game, you don't know about it. And, there's, like, these zombies that are, they hug you, and it just sucks. And you have to play the boss fight. You play tennis, dude. You play tennis.
That sounds pretty cool. I have a sport and a fantasy game like that.
So
I don't think that sounds fun at all.
And you get cock blocked at the end too.
Like, do you?
You don't even. Yeah, you don't even. It doesn't even pay off at the end. You don't get with the chick or anything. Dude,
all that sounds great to me.
So yeah, it's kind of.
You don't see Link at the end.
The Link. Yeah, you finally get a. You as Zelda. Finally get to a. Yeah.
This is actually a hilarious question, but it's actually kind of hard to answer for some.
I know.
I'll do Batman Arkham Knight. Mm. So you play as this guy named Bruce Wayne who's like has a lot of money and stuff, and he's always talking like, oh, we gotta save the city and stuff. And then he puts on this bat costume that has ears and everything, and you can fly around this town.
It has ears.
And you can punch guys, and you have to like save people, and you have to go over here, and then you have to go over there, and you have to go over here again, and you have to go in and out of doors. And
the combat is just very just...
You just hit, just one, you hit, just hit one two button. Buttons to
yeah,
punch
it's
stuff.
Not, it's not
and,
deep as
you really do.
everyone's a bad guy, and you're the only one trying to do the right thing, which is really annoying because it's not realistic at all. Like,
everyone's really mean.
Yeah, there's more good people in that, and I think the developers really undercut society when they pretend like everyone's a bad guy, which just makes no sense at all. You know, all these idiots, like there's a guy named Mr. Freeze, like that's the cheesiest thing I've ever heard. And he has an ice gun, of course. And his real name is Victor Freeze, which is just like the biggest pun ever, so that's stupid. There's a plant lady that has vines and stuff that'll attack you, and that's not realistic. It's overall just not realistic at all, and I only play realistic games like Grand Theft Auto, so it kind of sucks. Anything from you, Jacob? What's your favorite game?
So there's this game where you are a young boy, starting out on an island. I'm already interested. You have these stupid little friends. You don't know. You don't even know how you got on the island or why you're there. You don't even know that there's a whole world out there. But
are worlds plural?
Eventually, yes. You get a key. And apparently this key can hurt things.
How
it's
big
a giant
is the key?
Key.
Oh, it's a giant key.
And that is your weapon. You hit things with a stupid key.
How do you attack something with a key? I don't understand.
I don't know. You just got to play the stupid game to find out.
It sounds like it's for idiots.
Yeah. And apparently you use it to unlock doors, and that's the whole premise of the game is
okay.
Just unlocking doors.
You carry
doors.
This key around opening doors.
Yes,
and
that is your goal in the game.
With it.
And apparently
terrifying.
You meet kitty Disney characters that you watched when you were older than 10.
Yeah.
Younger than 10 years old. And it's just, it's a bad game.
It's just bad.
That sounds really. I don't want to go unlocking doors.
Don't ever
big,
play Kingdom Hearts,
key.
Man.
That sounds awful. No, all these games sound wonderful to me. I'm glad we're able to properly describe them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
hurt,
you for your,
hurt me
your
to
question,
say that.
Christmas.
Now
Oscar.
There's this really good game called Darkest of Days.
Ah,
yeah, and you get to go back in time, but with future weapons.
No way.
And it's so good. It's so good.
I've heard that's like the best
yeah.
game ever
it's
made.
One of the best games ever made.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, that's something I definitely want to play.
Yeah.
Just that premise yeah. alone.
Just the premise.
Can we
amazing.
Take this time to talk about how great Thief is, though? Since yeah. we're talking about so many bad games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to say, in every Game of the Year talk we're ever going to do, we got to give Thief a shout-out. I know it didn't come out this year, but Thief is one
it's
of the
It's almost
best
as if
ever
it
made.
Did. I still remember it so vividly.
Right.
the best hands in any game.
yes.
Like a T-Rex, like, prowling. Taking.
My face hurts so bad.
I like, there was this picture of, like, this naked woman, and where, you know, you do the puzzles where you'd, like, put your hands around it?
Yeah.
And there's this woman, and every time I push square, I'd smack her butt on the camera, on the picture.
I forgot he did this whole thing.
Trying so hard not to smile. Oh, it hurts.
Thank you, Christmas Oscar. That was a good question.
It was.
Like, that was a really cool concept. Edgar Herrera. What's going on, Edgar? Did he win the copy of Deus Ex?
He did.
Yeah. I got
that was
my,
a, that was a big event.
Yeah, my DNA's on that box. I sent it to you. Do what you will with it. I'm afraid that the PS4 Pro... My bad. Messed it up already. I'm afraid with the PS4 Pro, some games, like with The Last Guardian, won't run properly on the regular PS4. Doom, for example, runs great, and at 60 FPS on the regular PS4, I am concerned devs will get lazy and won't even try with the regular PS4, and upgrading will be a must. What do you think?
I think initially that won't be a problem. Maybe later on down the road, maybe it'll be a problem. I still don't think so, but, you know, right now it's still new. A lot of people still don't have it, so they're still going to be supporting the old PS4. You know, just as if this didn't even come out.
That's the main thing right there is probably for, and that's not probably, this is going to be what it is. More people are always going to have regular PS4 than PS4 Pro, period.
All right.
The regular PS4 has already sold around 50 million units. I don't know how much the PS4 Pro is sold, but I can assure you there's never going to be more PS4 Pros than PS4s. So they know that the main people that are buying their games have regular PS4s. So I think that alone is going to force them to do it. I think it's actually going to be the opposite.
I
hope it's not.
Thing.
But yeah. I think if a lot of people are like thinking it's not worth it to make the PS4 Pro version and stuff, like with updates and stuff,
yeah,
that's my biggest fear.
Yeah.
So, I just hope options are continued yeah. to be provided.
And Last Guardian, it runs the best on PS4 Pro when you're in 1080p mode, and it's at a locked 30.
Mm.
So in the 4K mode on PS4 Pro, it still has the same fluctuation as the regular PS4. So I wouldn't necessarily say that like the Pro is like killing it in Last Guardian. That game is obviously not optimized very well just for the system,
right.
For both systems at that. So I wouldn't worry about it. That was their whole push at the conference, and was just like, you don't have to upgrade. Everything is required to run the same as both, you know, at a bare minimum, and the Pro will just have a little bit more options. So far, like I was telling Jacob before the podcast started, the only two games that I'm really glad I have a Pro for is Tomb Raider and Final Fantasy 15. I really like the Pro options on those two. So hopefully as time goes on, there will be more options like that. And, yeah, I'm satisfied with my Pro. It's good. I like it a lot. Like,
yeah,
I
mine's
said,
a great Netflix machine.
Yeah.
Watching Netflix in 4K.
I just do that on the TV anyways, on the TV app. But, no, like I said, like Final Fantasy 15 in HDR looks really, really, really good. And, I like that a lot. So, but yeah, I wouldn't worry about it, Edgar. I think you're good to go, man. Wide Eyes on Twitter. Would you ever have a guest on IOG other than friends? And who is your dream guest person you would love to interview? I think eventually,
yes.
Yeah, we would like to.
I was going to say, obviously, we're not even slightly close to the point of having like a high caliber guest on the show, but I would definitely love to at some point. I wanted to have Alice from Audio Boom kind of Skype in with us 1 week, but she's no longer with Audio Boom, so I don't think that's a possibility. But because she's like, she was awesome when I did that Dark Souls podcast and her on her podcast. But someone like that would be cool. And Jacob and I talked about there's some individuals we know that we actually went to school with who play a lot of games that are knowledgeable in a lot of the things we talk about as well. We think would make a fun guest that we know who are local.
I had a game developer asked to be a guest.
You did, yeah.
And a guy making a game with a few of his friends and stuff. Well, game developer. He's a dude who makes like games in his free time.
Yeah.
And he sent me a pre-code for it. And I couldn't even get it to work. So I just never texted him back or anything.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm also going to be encountering a lot of ambitious students who are pursuing game development while at SCAD. And I've already met a handful of them. Granted, they're all like low level right now, but when I start meeting some of the higher level guys that are right on the edge of graduating, have had a lot of experience, I think it'd be cool to have like an indie developer come on and kind of talk about what they're working on and their ambitions for the industry and
stuff
like that.
What it takes to make a game.
Absolutely. But yeah.
Who's your dream? Anybody in the game
industry. Yeah,
I know
thought
mine.
About this.
I know
Let's
mine.
Hear it.
Todd Howard.
By far.
Yeah, I would die
More
if I could
Neil
talk
Druckmann.
To that guy. Yeah.
I think Neil Druckmann
Neil,
would be
I mean,
incredible
Neil Druckmann
too.
Would be incredible. I just love Todd Howard so much.
Yeah, I could listen to Todd talk about anything.
Yeah.
And just as a joke, not I don't mean this in a mean way, but just to get a good laugh, I'd love to have Peter Molyneux come on and just talk about his ambition for like a potential next phase.
But yeah, definitely Neil Druckmann or Todd Howard would just be amazing.
Certainly.
So, that'd be cool. Felipe on Twitter, since you're doing Goatee, what's your TV show and or movie of 2016?
I could name a lot of stuff. I'll just rattle off a few. Favorite movies, just saw Rogue One. I really, really enjoy that movie. We're going to do a spoiler talk's already out. It's coming. It'll be out before this podcast comes out. But we did do a non-spoiler review and a spoiler talk that is available on our YouTube channel. For those of you that tune into this podcast who don't visit our YouTube channel, we do have Rogue One stuff on our channel because we really enjoyed the movie. But Rogue One, definitely. Marvel Civil War, Captain America Civil War was great. Most recently, Arrival was a phenomenal movie. Definitely one of the best movies I saw this year. Sing Street, which is available on Netflix, is by far one of the best movies I've seen this year. It's fantastic. I highly recommend Sing Street.
So are you just going to pick one or are you just going to say everything?
I'm just saying a few, a handful. What was another great one? Edge of 17 was not marketed massively, but that was another great movie. I think that's I'm having a hard time remembering everything, but I think that's some of the big movies I enjoyed. TV shows, Westworld, ironically enough, I have not hyped myself up to finish it. I have 3 episodes left, but I haven't finished it yet, but I really do enjoy Westworld. I think that's potential to be a really great show going forward. I really enjoy the first season for the most part. I just haven't finished it yet. Westworld was great. I've dipped out of Flash and Arrow and all that stuff entirely. I hate to say it, I just can't keep up with it.
Yeah, it's just okay.
It's just kind of exhausting at this point, mostly because I watch it on the CW app, and those ads slaughter me. There's so many of them. And
hey,
the fact
Dare to Defy, man.
Yeah, Dare to Defy. But and the fact that there's, I think there's 23 episodes a season, and they take multiple breaks and stuff, I can't keep up with it. And I enjoy what I've seen in the season so far, and I've seen half of the crossover with the aliens. I've seen all the way through Arrow. I have Legends of Tomorrow's episode left. But even that, I thought it was fine. It wasn't like mind blowing by any means. But I really enjoy those characters, and I enjoy those TV shows when I dropped out of them. But Westworld was great, and I started Mr. Robot. Anyone who's a Mr. Robot fan who suggested that show, thank you, because my girlfriend and I just started it. We're on episode 2, barely into it, but the first episode was fantastic. I was like, man, I'm super interested in this. So really enjoying that, and I liked Luke Cage a lot. That was fun. I think that's all I can really think of right now, because the more I talk, the more I'm losing my mind. But that's some of my favorite stuff from 2016.
My favorite TV show of the year was season one of Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah, that was a big one.
Favorite movie, since you said Rogue One, that's kind of mine, but I'll give a shout out to Moana.
That was very great as well.
Movie. I love Disney movies, so.
Me too.
Man, I don't even know what came out this year. I guess Civil War is my favorite movie.
Mm-hmm. Another good movie.
Yeah, that was the only one that really stood out in my mind. TV shows, dude. I watched Stranger Things, which is awesome. Yeah. I like that. That was pretty much it. I did watch one anime that I liked a ton. Me and my girlfriend watched it, called Erased. Great, great show.
I can't liked get Casey lot. To watch anime with me. I've tried.
Oh, really?
She's kind of like your sister in that regard. She thinks it is the stupidest thing that's ever existed.
See, I've gotten my girlfriend really into it. Like, she legit, we watched all of Sword Art together.
I've tried to convince her. Anime, a lot of it legitimately has fantastic narrative.
Yeah. Oh, dude, Erased is so good. Did I tell you what it's about?
No.
This guy can, for some, they don't really explain it, but he can go back in time. He, like, will see a butterfly, like, kind of referencing, like, the butterfly effect, and he'll go back in time a little bit, and he knows something bad has happened, and he has to fix it. Well, this is all in the first episode, so it's not a spoiler, but his mother is killed, and he is framed for this murder, and he's, like, running from the cops, and he is sent back in the 1980s, where he's, like, a little kid in elementary school, and there was a serial kidnapper who killed and kidnapped like three of his classmates. So his entire thing is he's as a kid trying to stop this event from happening that apparently relates to his mother being murdered. So it's like that pretty much
fantastic.
Like the, oh, it's so good, dude. I loved that show, and it's only one season. It is like,
so it's 10 like a one-off type
it's
series?
A one-off 10 episodes done, complete story. It's
I love
awesome
that.
So good. That stood out for me and my girlfriend like watched it in like 2 days, and we like loved it. So yeah, nice. Really good.
What'd you think real quick of the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. So good.
I'm excited
I'm
about it.
I'm so pumped for that. So great.
Awesome.
So
yeah, I guess that wraps us up for this week.
Yeah, I guess so, man.
Anything else you guys have to say?
No.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna be totally honest with you guys. I have to dump my brains out.
Again?
Yeah. Oh wow.
Well, I've been pretty constipated this week due to my pain pills. They say the more you take them, the more constipated you're gonna get. So I've been backed up.
When are we gonna go eat?
What time is it?
I don't know.
4:30-ish?
You have to take a third poop.
Casey will be here at 5. So I think we're gonna go at 5. Is that cool?
Yeah, I guess.
That's like half an hour?
Yeah.
Sometimes I can't read the clock from here.
Okay.
But I would love to dine with you at Taco Bell this evening.
Okay, we'll see. I got to see what Lizzie's doing.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Bring her over.
Yeah. She's actually.
Come up.
She's actually. Oh, I have to tell you something. She's actually doing something right now that I got to tell you. But anyways, that was the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast show where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games and other things, obviously. If you liked that, please check us out at youtube.com/It's Obvious Gaming. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom. There's more stuff.
Subscribe,
right?
And review on iTunes.
Okay, subscribe now.
If you're willing.
I do remember you saying that. Yeah. Please review and subscribe. We've had some really great reviews on iTunes. We're almost to 1,000 subscribers.
Hey, we're going to hit it,
so
man.
Close.
I think we need 8 people.
Please help Jacob's prediction come true. Tell us to your friends. Tell us to anybody. Please, we need to get to 1,000. That would be the best Christmas gift you guys could do for us.
Yes.
So, gentlemen, it's been great. I'm so happy to be back with you guys. I'll be back here for hopefully a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So
hopefully.
Before I have to go on another journey.
We've been discussing and figuring out how to Skype Preston in.
Yeah.
In
we got to figure out something.
Yeah.
So, because I definitely, being here from the beginning, it really sucks that towards us, like, you know, reaching 1,000, building up a pretty decently sized community and stuff, you know, for us.
Yeah.
It really sucks to not be a part of it, you know, all the time.
So, you're in our hearts always.
Oh, thank you so much. But guys, that'll do it. And again, thank you guys so much. And we'll see y'all next week.
Absolutely. Everyone have a wonderful week. And I guess we'll talk to you once more before Christmas.
Yep.
So.
All right.
Exciting.
All right, man.
Goodbye, everyone.
Take care.
Bye.